Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we've gone through this series on worship, we've learned that God is the divine artist. And he has created us and designed us also to be artists. Some of us are more useful artists in that we make things or help to make things in some way, shape, or form that help people to survive physically. Others are fine artists, where that which they produce is an end in itself, because the purpose of it is to help us contemplate God and life. And music is one of those fine arts, and it is something that is not just sanctioned, but encouraged, almost we could say commanded, by the Bible as a means by which we are to honor God. Now, some of us are not so fine in our fine art of music, but that's okay too, because we don't necessarily have to produce it in order to appreciate it. We might only receive it, become a patron of the arts, and not an actual artist itself. And this morning, what I want to do is to allow you to be patrons of the arts, where you and I will listen and watch as we take a historical tour of Christian music that's mostly Western. The Eastern Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, has not varied all that much at all, which I'll comment on in just a minute. But the Western Church has definitely changed over the course of time in many ways, including in the kind of music that it uses in order to honor and worship God. And we've certainly seen over the last few decades sort of an acceleration in that change of music, of styles. So we're going to take the entire morning. If you want to sing, I encourage you to sing in your own heart, as maybe you recognize some of these songs as being familiar, and you enjoy them as we go along. There'll be a total of 8 songs, stemming all the way back to the 6th century, the first one being a Gregorian chant, all the way up to our modern period. The last song is going to be a video clip from our trip to Zambia last year. So we're even going to change cultures too. And there's lots more music, lots more songs that I could have included in this, and yet, you know, I can't hold you here legitimately for longer than an hour or an hour and 10 minutes or so. If we had all day, well, we could enjoy, you know, even a wider variety of music that we're going to see this morning. I'm also going to take you through the first 4 songs before I release the kids. So hopefully they're in here, and we'll welcome them, and then I'll release the kids as well as the teachers, and we'll move on from there after that short break. I'll make a couple of announcements besides. As we think about music, there are 4 components that I want you just to be mulling over as we listen and watch these songs this morning. The first component is the melody, the tune. That is that music is a series of tones that are placed one after the other. And sometimes those melodies can be quite complex in symphonic music. Other times it can be rather simple, as in some of the more modern music. So the melody is the first thing I'd like you to just to think about. The second is the harmony. That the fact that there are oftentimes different tones that are played at the same time. Some people enjoy melody, other people enjoy harmony. Some people enjoy both. You'll find different emphases at different times, even in history, as well as according to different musicians, too, living today. The third component is the rhythm, the beat. And if you're awake, if you have been, you know, alive over the last few decades or so, you've noticed that the rhythm of music has changed quite dramatically. And the rhythm is oftentimes up-tempo. And so we'll hear some of that too. The first song that we'll listen to is the tempo is rather, you know, just not much tempo there. Not that there's any criticism of that. Whereas the last couple of songs, especially the last song, coming out of Africa, there is rhythm, baby. So we'll enjoy listening and hearing that too. And then the fourth component is the voice and the quality of the voice, or today, if you think about it, kind of the coolness of the voice. According to John McWhorter in his book, Doing Our Own Thing, yes, you may take my seat. Go ahead. Go, Kiefer. It's yours. There almost seems to be a greater emphasis on the voice than almost anything else. If someone has a cool voice, then it doesn't necessarily matter what the melody is, what the harmony is, almost what the rhythm is, although the rhythm is important too, but it's the voice that's important. Well, you know, all these different aspects of music where one finds preferences. And what I hope to be able to do this morning is to encourage all of us to kind of broaden our horizons when it comes to Christian music, as you'll see the wide variety that has occurred down through the centuries. So the first song that we're going to listen to is Vexilla Regis. And if I could have the words on the screen here, this song was written in 569 at a convent in Poitiers, France. It is commonly identified in genre as a Gregorian chant. The song was written to celebrate the arrival of a piece of the original cross that on which Christ was crucified as it was being brought to the convent there in Poitiers. Now, that's always a little bit interesting, too, if you read about the medieval period where you see these relics that are revered in that time period. For example, when Shirley Packard and I were in Istanbul a few years ago, we saw the right hand and forearm of John the Baptist in Istanbul in a museum. Then we went to Damascus and we saw his other right hand and forearm. So people will say, you know, this is an authentic piece of the cross or the right hand and forearm of John the Baptist. Maybe, you know. But in any event, this song was written to commemorate that. The Latin over here is going to be sung in Latin. You'll hear it. The English. Let me just run through the words quickly. The royal banners forward go. The cross shines forth in mystic glow. Where he, that be Christ, in flesh, our flesh who made, our sentence bore, our ransom paid. Fulfilled is all that David told in true prophetic song of old. Amidst the nations, God, saith he, hath reigned in triumph from the tree. O tree of beauty, tree of light, O tree with royal purple delight, elect on whose triumphal breast those holy limbs should find their rest. O cross, our one reliance hail, so may thy power with us avail to give new virtue to the saint and pardon to the penitent. To thee, eternal three in one, let homage meet by all be done, whom by the cross thou dost restore, preserve and govern evermore. Amen. This song is being sung by the Cambridge Singers. It's on an album entitled, or a CD entitled, Sing Ye Heavens. It's been directed by John Rutter. It was recorded in February 2000 at the Church of St. Alban the Martyr in London, England. And there'll be at least one more song from that same CD. And so let's listen to this.
Oh,
Is Our God, written by Martin Luther around the middle 1500s. But music didn't change all that much until approximately the 1500s. But the next song I want to present you with is For Unto Us a Child is Born. It's from the Messiah by George Friedrich Handel. And Handel was commissioned by a Dublin charity to write this entire production of the Messiah. When he first performed it in April 13, 1742, there in Dublin, they raised over 400 pounds, which allowed approximately 140 men to be released from debtor's prison. And that was the purpose of it. He himself, Handel, conducted this piece, the entire Messiah, approximately 30 times in his life afterwards. But this one song, For Unto Us a Child is Born, is one verse in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which we looked at back in the fall. It reads, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in this song, we have one of the most explicit and direct prophetic statements that the Messiah is going to be not just a man, but also God. This particular portion of the scripture is written around 700 BC, so quite a long time before Jesus of Nazareth eventually arrived to become the one who was born of a virgin, grew up as a man, proclaimed a new message of the new covenant to Israel, and that eventually reached beyond that area, and then also went on to become our Messiah by dying on the cross and rising from the dead to rescue us from God's justice, from his judgment, that we might have the promise of eternal life. So this song, you'll notice the melody is quite different from the Gregorian chant. We'll get a little bit more symphonic here, obviously. So 1742, George Friedrich Handel, the Messiah.
Thank you.
gone from Poitiers, France to Dublin, Ireland. We now move on to England. Around the same period of time, the 1740s, Charles Wesley, one of the two Wesley brothers, it's predicted that he wrote somewhere around 10,000 hymns. One of his best known is entitled Christ the Lord is Risen Today. It was originally 10 stanzas. The stanzas 8 through 10, I just learned this recently, they were actually written in the 14th century by an unknown author. And so Wesley took them, though, and added them to his own song. The melody is by Lyra Davidica, who is a little-known composer in London. He wrote this melody in 1708. The song comes from the same CD as the Gregorian chant, Sing Ye Heavens. And by the way, that Messiah was sung by the London Philharmonic Choir along with a Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by John Aldiss in 1879. The words of Christ the Lord is risen today are these, celebrating Jesus' resurrection. So this is more of an Easter song, obviously. Christ the Lord is risen today, and then you'll hear the singers sing Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, raise your joys and triumphs high, sing ye heavens and earth reply. Lives again our glorious King, where, O death, is now thy sting? Dying once, he all doth save, where thy victory, O grave? You'll recognize some of these songs actually come from I always get them mixed up. Help me out here. 1 Corinthians 15. Yes, 1 Corinthians 15. I can never distinguish between 1 and 2 Corinthians for some reason. Going on, love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. Death in vain forbids him rise. Christ hath opened paradise. The word paradise, by the way, is a Zoroastrian term. It was a term that Jesus used on the cross as he was addressing the thief who was inquiring about the means to join Jesus after he was raised from the dead. And Jesus actually used a term from a whole other religion. Not that he was sanctioning that religion or condoning it, but paradise comes from, it's a Persian word that comes out of Iran and means just exactly what we typically, think that it means, a place of flourishing existence, of success, of prosperity. The song goes on and ends, at least these four stanzas. Remember, there are a total of 10, but there are only going to be four in this particular rendition. So are we now where Christ hath led, following our exalted head. Made like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, and the skies. So Charles Wesley, around 1742, was when this song was written from a melody written by another man in 1708, performed by the Cambridge Singers and John Rutter at the Church of St. Alban the Martyr in London, England. Thank you. that song, you heard a full range of musical instruments. Those of you who love the organ, you heard a large pipe organ in that song, a full symphony, a wide range of voices, as well as a relatively complicated melody and tune in that song, too. This next song is going to be much simpler. And we move, having gone from France to Ireland to England, now over to America, but with a very African flavor to this next song, which is Oh My Lord. And this is going to be a clip from the movie Glory. If you recall, that movie was about the first all-black regiment in the Northern Army during the Civil War, the 54th Massachusetts Regiment. It was commanded by Colonel Robert Gould Shaw. And in this clip, this clip, what we're going to see, first of all, is General George Strong, who himself was only 30 years old at the time, as he is describing what is going to happen the next morning, which is going to be a frontal assault upon Fort Wagner, just right near Charleston, South Carolina, near the beginning of the war, and that would have been Fort Sumter. And Colonel Shaw, who's being played by Matthew Broderick, is going to volunteer the 54th to lead that charge, knowing that most of his men are probably going to get wiped out because of the difficulty of this particular battle. And so the movie features also Morgan Freeman with Denzel Washington, whom we'll see in this too. The battle took place on July 18th, 1863. Of the 600 men total from the 54th who fought in that battle, and there were approximately 1,600 originally in the regiment, only 281 died, so almost half the regiment was lost in this battle. The song that we'll see portrayed in the movie is being, the musical instruments are not symphonic, there's a tambourine, a washboard, and a harmonica, along with the voices of these black men as they sing. The words are quite simple. He packed in the animals two by two, the ox, the camel, and the kangaroo, packed them in so tight I could get no sleep that night, along with my sons Japheth, Shem, and Ham, to tell them about God's master plan. There probably are more lyrics to it than this, but this is all that's used in this particular video clip. What we're seeing here is the influence of not just African music on the worship of God through music that has now reached America, but also the influence of African Christianity, because the European countries evangelized Africa beginning with around 1500, when Portugal, Spain, England, France especially set out to colonize the world. And more than likely, these slaves, as they're portrayed here, have come from Western Africa, which would have already been introduced to Christianity as a result of the missionaries from those four countries. So these men are combining thoughts from what their ancestors are, you know, if this is around, this is 63, they're combining thoughts that would have been taught to their forefathers even around 1500, so 300 years earlier or so, as well as the music you'll recognize as being, you know, very much African, a different kind of melody, different rhythm, obviously different lyrics, much simpler lyrics here too, and then the harmony as you'll hear the men sing that. So we'll begin with General Strong describing the battle and faces these men, Colonel Shaw volunteering the 54th, and then the scene will shift to the night before the battle, when as the men are worshiping God and thinking about what is in store for them the next morning. We're also going to see, we're going to hear some different terminology. Morgan Freeman is going to use a phrase, our great getting up day, a distinctly Negro or black term for finally moving on from this life into eternal life. And then we're also going to see Denzel Washington, who portrays him as obviously not a Christian, but he's there and he's clapping and he's listening and he's invited to say a few words in the midst of this worship service. And, you know, okay. And he's just he's being encouraged just to kind of come in and participate, which is sort of a new idea that maybe we, that, you know, inviting a non-Christian to do that sort of thing. Obviously, you know, written, put in there by the writers of this movie as well as the director. But, and I hope you will enjoy just this clip and the kind of singing that these men do. So, from the movie Glory, Oh My Lord. And if you could kill those lights. Thanks, John. Oh, and I need to make a switch.
Hold on two shakes here.
Thank you.
Plus a garrison of about 1,000 men. As many of you gentlemen may be aware, for the last 4 days, our Navy has weakened Wagner with a constant barrage. Headquarters has determined a time for our attack. We will proceed with a direct frontal assault tomorrow at dusk. Problem, gentlemen, is the approach. The ocean and the marsh leave only a narrow strip of sand, a natural defile through which we can only send one regiment at a time. Now, our best hope is that leading regiment can keep the Rebs occupied long enough for reinforcements to exploit the breach. Needless to say, casualties in the leading regiment may be extreme.
General Strong, the 54th Massachusetts, request the honor of leading the attack on Fort Wagner.
It's Colonel Shaw, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
You and your men haven't slept for 2 days.
That's right, sir.
Do you think they have the strength to lead this charge?
There's more to fighting than rest, sir. There's character. There's strength of heart. You should have seen us in action 2 days ago. We were a sight to see. We'll be ready, sir. When do you want us?
So tight, I couldn't get no sleep that night. Rolled the ship in him, tell me about the master plan. Oh, my Lord,
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Oh, my
Lord, 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 Lord.
Oh, my Lord,
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Tomorrow, we go into battle.
All right.
So, Lordy, let me fight with the rifle in one hand and good book in the other.
Yeah.
That if I should die at the muzzle of the rifle, die on water or on land, I may know that you, blessed Jesus Almighty, are with me.
We see you.
And I have no fear. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we stand before you this evening to say thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you, Father, for your grace and your many blessings.
Yes, sir.
Now, I run off and left all my youngins and my kinfolk in bondage. So I'm standing here this evening, Heavenly Father, to ask your blessings on all of us.
Talk to him,
amen.
So that if tomorrow is our great getting up morning,
amen.
If tomorrow we have to meet the judgment day, Heavenly Father, we want you to let our folks know that we died facing the enemy. We want them to know that we went down standing up.
Yes, Lord.
Amongst those that are fighting against our oppression. We want them to know, Heavenly Father, that we died for freedom. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Say what you think. Just say what you feel.
Come on,
let it out.
Well, I ain't much about no friend now.
All right.
I never had no family. Killed off my mama. You feel funny, don't you?
Yeah, come on.
It's all right.
Come on. Enjoy. Come on, man. You're doing fine.
Well, I just... Y'all's the only family I got.
Well, that's our family. That's all right.
And, I love the 54.
Yes. All right.
Ain't much a matter what happens tomorrow. But we men ain't.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Greatest times of worship can be in the greatest times of trial, as a clip like that shows. Well, let's take a break, and the children may feed it. Well, before they do that, I need to make just a few announcements, all right? Here in the middle, and where are those? They're down here. Excuse me. Yeah. That's not the right one. There it is. Thank you. I want to let you know that there is a Sunday brunch afterwards today, so we'll all look forward to eating the chow that's being prepared for us. We better move along here too. There's a baptism class right after the service, and then it's all these B's: brunch, baptism class, bazaar, women's bazaar. And let's see, Diane Cotton wanted me to make what kind of announcement there, Diane? That. Okay, good, thank you. And then read the bulletin for the rest of those the announcements there. Also want to let you know, this piece of paper, excuse me, that Jim Moore's surgery on Wednesday, I believe it was quite successful. He's tired, but healing well, so we want to continue to pray for his quick recovery. And then Shirley Packard, let me know about a website that you can go to called Save California. Apparently there's a bill coming up in the state legislature this next week, Thursday. SaveCalifornia.com, thank you. That bill will be regarding making legal homosexual marriages in California. So as we watched across the country, as people have wrestled with biblical morality or the lack thereof, that we want to encourage you to respond to that by going to that that website. And let's take a moment to pray, okay, for Jim and for ourselves as we continue here. Oh, one more thing I need to ask about. Excuse me. Sorry. Right after you bowed your heads. Ray Woolsey, how's Marcia?
Well, she's made a remarkable turn for the better.
Okay.
She's home, 24-hour care. Your prayers are being felt.
Yeah.
We thought she was on her deathbed.
Yeah. Understand.
And happy that she's stronger than she was before.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Let's pray now. Our gracious God, we thank you for your many blessings, as Morgan Freeman so well portrayed in that clip. Just the wide and various ways that you have provided for us as your creatures, as your children, as we become Christians who believe in the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jim's surgery and for how well he is healing, and we'll ask that you continue to bring him along in that way, and that he will heal well. Thank you for Marcia, for her continued life here on earth, and while we know that she was ready to be taken home by you, that you have seen fit to keep her here for the time being at least, although we know she's still ready. So we thank you for her life, we thank you for her faith, and ask that you continue to strengthen her faith, as well as the Woolsey families, the Moores families, and our own too. Thank you for music, Lord, for the wonderful way that the means that it is to honor and worship you with these various styles that we have seen already just in these four songs. So we ask for your continued blessing upon our time as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Children, now you may be dismissed. Say hello to someone next to you while we make a switch here. Four more songs. We'll move right along so that we can get to the brunch. If that was 1863, we want to move forward just about 25 years to 1878. That's the audio track number 4, by the way, Andrew. A song written by Elisha Albright Hoffman. The music is also from the 19th century. This song is entitled Blood of the Lamb. Its lyrics, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his graceless hour? Oh, okay. Referring to the fact that God pulled back, so to speak, from Jesus as he was on the cross. Instead of Jesus getting grace, Jesus got wrath. He got what we deserve. We get grace because he got wrath. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then the refrain, are you washed in the blood and the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily in the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then the refrain. The next song, next stanza. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the souls unclean. O be washed in the blood of the Lamb. So this song is also American, Elisha Albright Hoffman, late 19th century, being sung here by Willie Nelson from his CD, Further Along.
Jesus, for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the souls unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb?
I'm pretty sure that's his sister Bobby Nelson, who's on the piano there. And if you like that genre of music, that style, the entire album is old hymns that Willie sings, called Further Along. Now we fast forward. Well, actually, Willie is obviously closer to us than Elisha Albright Hoffman was, but this song was written around 1994. So we move from 1878 to 1994. We also go from America back to England to what we could call sort of an extension of the Keswick movement of the 19th century. The Keswick movement began in England and it, where more emphasis amongst Christians was being placed upon, you know, verbiage like relationship with God, power from God, living the victorious Christian life. The Vineyard movement has sort of continued that genre of Christianity, you might say. And this song, The River Is Here, is by Andy Park. It's from the CD, The River Is Here. Let's see, we'll take a look at the lyrics. A little bit simpler, much more metaphorical, or kind of going back to the same style of lyrics, I think, as the Gregorian chant. Down the mountain, the river flows. I mean, what's he talking about? I mean, if you don't know that this is a Christian song, it's kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah, he's just describing a landscape. But it brings refreshing wherever it goes. Through the valleys and over the fields, the river is rushing and the river is here. Then, the answer to the question, what river are you talking about? The refrain, the river of God sets our feet a-dancing. The river of God fills our hearts with cheer. The river of God fills our mouths with laughter, and we rejoice, for the river is here. So you can see the distinctly upbeat lyrics, and you'll notice that the melody will be that way too. The river of God is teeming with life, and all who touch it can be revived. And those who linger on this river shore will come back thirsting for more of the Lord. And then the refrain. Do we have a... Yeah, okay. Up to the mountain we love to go to find the presence of the Lord. Along the banks of the river we run, we dance with laughter, giving praise to the sun. And then the refrain, the river of God sets our feet a-dancing, the river of God fills our hearts with cheer, the river of God fills our mouths with laughter, and we rejoice, for the river is here. You'll notice an Irish flavor to the melody here, too. So let's listen to Andy Park and The River Is Here.
Here. is rushing, and the river is here. The river of God sets our feet a dancing. The river of God fills our hearts with cheer. The river of God fills our mouths with laughter, and we rejoice, for the river is here. Yes, and we rejoice, for the river is here.
Contemporary Christian music is that there are two sort of categories that have arisen over the last 20 or so years. One category is like this, where the music is obviously written for corporate worship. Many people involved in clapping hands and dancing, if that's the case, or singing together. Whereas another category is more just for listening's sake. You have groups like Jars of Clay, and that's the next song that we're going to listen to here, called Trouble Is. And Jars of Clay, they're a Christian band, have written songs that are mainly for just auditory consumption, not for group participation. So this song comes from their latest album, Jars of Clay, that is, Who We Are Instead. It's almost feels a little bit like a downer, quite frankly, but it's communicating something extremely profound about the Christian life. You notice, again, very metaphorical in the lyrics. And it's not that the other songs didn't have but I'm struck by just the contemporary artists and authors who write these songs of how much they truly enjoy metaphor as a means to communicate. So you've got this first line, my wings don't sail me to the sky. Huh? What do you mean by that? On my own, these wings won't fly. Jesus told me so, still I'm not so sure I know. Very simple lyrics, but what the author, I think, is intending to communicate is that basically I can't live life on my own. I need God in order to grant me the grace to do so, to live life the way I should, the way he's commanded me to. Can't find no rest for my soul, can't find no rest on my own. Jesus told me so, still I'm not so sure that I know. Man, the trouble is we don't know who we are instead. I keep running the other way, my heart ain't built to stay, and the world just ain't that way. Man, the trouble is we don't know who we are instead. My heart ain't built to stay, Jesus told me so. So it's as though, it's as though the author, you know, he keeps hearing Jesus say, you know, you try to trust in yourself, you're not going to be able to live life the way you should. And so, Jars of Clay, the trouble is from their CD, their latest CD, Who We Are Instead.
My wings don't sail me to the sky. On my own, these wings won't fly. Jesus told me so. Still I'm not so sure that I know. Can't find no rest for my soul. Can't find no rest on my own. Jesus.
Jesus, he told me so.
We leave the West now and we go south to what Philip Jenkins in his book, The Next Christendom, identifies as the up-and-coming central headquarters, you might say, for Christianity. Since, you could go all the way back to the 4th century, Christianity has found its center in the West, as well as somewhat in the East and the Middle East. Europe, Great Britain, the pilgrims coming over to this country, the United States, and then the proliferation of Christianity here in the United States. As Americans, we consider ourselves sort of the forerunners, or not the forerunners, but the ones who are carrying the banner of Christianity more than anyone else in this world. But if you look at statistics, according to Philip Jenkins, you're finding that Christianity is moving much more south, Latin America and Africa. And if you would observe the controversy that's occurring within the Anglican or the Episcopal Church, which is part of the Anglican Church, it's the African leaders of the Anglican Church who are remaining more conservative than the American leaders in that church with respect to this issue of homosexuality. And so it clearly appears as though God is at work moving the center of Christianity away from the West, away from the United States, and down south of the equator. And those of us that went to Zambia last year had an opportunity to experience that when we were there, moving south even into Africa, where the Africans may take over the leadership of Christianity within this world. So what I want to show you now is a clip from our trip. It's the song Endemi Totala that I'm going to need this in a second, so I might as well get it. Being sung in Bemba by some friends of ours who attended a seminar that I put on. And the lyrics are also quite simple. I won't read the Bemba, but thank you, God who is in heaven. Your name be magnified, or set up input image up there. Did I do that? I did that. I must have hit the menu button. Sorry, that'll go off. My fault. Look back there. I will dance for you. I will ululate ala ululate. Remember this word that I brought up a few weeks ago? What does it mean? You will hear the African women ululate in the background in this song. So the song actually calls for them to do that. Remember, the word ululate comes from the Semitic term halal. And it's halal that we get hallelujah, to praise God. So to ululate in their terms is to make that trilling sound, but it is a worshipful sound to God. And so there's a call for the women to do that. I will dance for my God who is in heaven. The Africans don't know how to sing a song without dancing, especially in worship of God, as you'll see in this clip. Your name be magnified. I will dance for you, God my Father. I will praise you. And then in English, all of a sudden, lift him higher, and you'll see them indicate that the same way we do at an athletic event. Then these wonderful words in Bemba, Mama yo-yo-yo balese baweme. Mama yo-yo-yo, that you'll see the people, they'll put their hands on their heads and they'll drop their heads and be dancing like that because they're saying, I cannot comprehend his goodness. And so they're demonstrating that even with their body language too. God is good. God is full of mercy. I cannot comprehend. He is gracious. Clap your hands for him, which they do the entire song anyway. Repeat, God is good. God is good. So there's a group of us in this from Grace Fellowship Church at this gathering. You'll see the back of Brett's head and Signe Hilliard's head too. And Signe's, I don't know, much more kind of obviously African than then certainly there's this white guy in the background who's standing right next to Moffat Zimba, and you'll see he is clearly uncomfortable. And I hesitated using this clip because I thought, you know, this guy's way too uncomfortable. But that's really the point, is that we're seeing the clash of two cultures, even two musical cultures. And so part of what I'm trying to do here is to introduce you to different styles and kinds of music so that you can recognize that there are Christians around the world and down through the centuries who have express themselves to God and honoring God with different kinds of music. And it might not be our preference. Gregorian chants, I love listening to them for a while, but you know, eventually I'd like something a little more upbeat, like Andy Park even, for example. Or Willie Nelson, too. Yeah, I'll go for Willie, yeah. Good old Texan. So, you know, don't be too bothered by this guy's discomfort, but recognize that, you know, what is this guy going to say to these people as they are singing the song the way that they are? Oh, don't do that because I'm uncomfortable? You know, obviously not, because these people are expressing their hearts to God in such a magnificent way according to their own culture too. So we'll let's enjoy as we watch Teresa and the Gang. And this by the way, this one gal is singing the lead. Can you imagine her on American Idol? Blow everybody away. I mean, there would be, it's no contest whatsoever. Here we go. Teresa and Friends, with Adam Hurlston walking right in the middle of this thing. But I'm Oh, gosh. God does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? Psalm 150 again. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for our brothers and sisters down through the centuries who have sought to worship you through music. Thank you for their contributions to the enriching of our own lives by recognizing and appreciating the fine art that they have produced because of the design that you have built into them and into us as we enjoy their fruits. And so, Father, we pray that we can continue to worship you, not only in song, but also through our whole lives, our words, our actions, every moment of every day, that we remember that you are the God who is working and continuing to move throughout this entire world, calling out your elect into your kingdom, granting us the promise of eternal life, that through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that tomorrow may be our great getting up morning. And if so, God, may we praise you for your sovereign rule and authority over the entire creation and our lives. But we thank you for the blood that was shed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for his resurrection that has given us your grace, your mercy, and the expectation that we will live forever in your presence, learning all the different songs that have been written and sung down through the ages in honor and glory of you. And we look forward to that, to meeting all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, the throngs that will be there before your throne as we together dance and sing and enjoy the music of the ages. For we pray this in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for your kind attention. Let's enjoy brunch now.